Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting. It is July 20th, 11:02. Officially called to order. So are there any guests that we need to make mention of? Okay, thank you. Approval of participation by electronic means. We are familiar with that at this time. So I would certainly entertain a motion for those that join us and would like to participate.
Okay,
is there a second?
Second.
Okay, properly motion and second, the approval of participation by electronic means. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. So, modifications to the agenda. Do you have any?
I have none.
Do you have, okay, public comment. There's no public, so there's no comment. And then approval of draft meeting minutes. I ask that you draw your attention to the May 18th minutes and trust that you've got an opportunity to review them. And if that is the case, then I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been properly motioned and second. The approval of the May 18, 2021 minutes. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. And Ron, you'll move us into item 7, the RFP 2102, asphalt paving.
Yes, so we did go out to RFP to try to get the asphalt paving services procured. We had budgeted $89,385 and the lowest bid came in $192,115.
It's like everything you test, but well, in construction,
we missed by a little bit. You know, again, obviously COVID has had a significant impact on a lot of things. We're not sure the quality of the original estimate we had to do the budgeting based on. It's probably somewhere between where it ought to be. My recommendation, and I gave some options down here on some things that we could do, you know, obviously we could go ahead and spend $192,000 if we need to, or we can wait and kind of see how things sort out. But my recommendation is we just defer this to the budget committee. They're going to meet in September. The bids are good for a while if we chose to go that way. But in the meantime, we just have the budget committee take another look at it, see if we get an estimate or, you know, budget some money and wait and see what happens with the market. So my recommendation is we defer to the budget committee to consider for next year.
I would certainly open the floor for discussion, but I would certainly concur with that, Ron. And I talked about it earlier, and that's just the only good choice at this time.
We do have some issues related, you know, in terms of timing. There are some issues related to some of the lot that's starting to, you know, roots are coming up, pushing the lot up, and we've got cones on them to make sure the trips over and things like that. But, and there are some repairs that we could probably go ahead and do early next year, get that in the budget to do without necessarily doing the whole, you know, all the lots.
Madam Chair, thank you,
sure.
So my question was very similar. You kind of answered that. Have we done a risk assessment that the repairs, how much that would cover us? Because some of the construction information that I'm chasing is we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. It could be 6 months, it could be 2 years, it could be.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to guess at this point. It's all a guess, but that's why I think we just do the minimum scope. We need to make sure everything is safe. And then go back because we're going to have to do those repairs anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
But if we just still have to dig it up and then patch it, let them do the digging and patching, and then we'll come back and do a new surface layer over the top of everything later. I think so.
It's probably worth not asking the contractors because obviously they're interested in doing business while prices are inflated, but it's probably worth us reaching out to some of the local general contractors and asking them, you know, what do you see coming up? Are we in for the 2 year run or is there a chance that this relaxes and is there a more strategic way that we can approach it?
Yeah, we'll certainly look at that as part of the consideration of budget committee. But again, it's just, you're right. We're getting the same issues as you've seen related to the Northwood Innovation Lab.
Yeah.
It's a moving target right there.
Yes. Okay, so we have the item before us and had a conversation on best way to move forward. Is there a motion moving in that direction?
Is that option four?
It is.
Okay, I will move option four.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's been properly motioned and second. Moving forward with option four. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Okay. No opposition, motion carries. Okay, Treasury Management Law.
Yeah, so we've in the past done everything by check, with the exception of wire transfers that we use to move money between investment accounts and our operating account. I've worked with Hancock Whitney in the past. We had challenges with their security and didn't think we had good dual two-person authentication approval. And now we do with this new system that they have. So we looked at this, we put it in and we tested it, and it works. It takes either Christy from Talcor or myself to either initiate and then the other one to approve all transactions. It's the same with the creation of user accounts. It takes two of us to put those in. So there is no way to circumvent that two-person authentication. So what I'm asking to do is to change our bylaws and our policies related to the payment of amounts over $10,000, which previously had to be done with the authorization of the officers, two of the officers, as well as wire transfers, that we're able to execute those transactions using the treasury management system. And any amounts over $10,000 could be authorized by via email by two officers, email directly to both Christy at Talcor and myself, so we both know directly that the officers approve the transaction, but allow us to execute those transactions using the treasury management system. And so the bylaws do state that the $10,000 rule, I'm asking that we totally remove that part of the bylaws from the bylaws, because it seems to me that it's more appropriate just to include those in policy. And then modify the accounting operations procedures, and as well as the policy related to, I'm sorry, it's a accounting controls policy, which is included in your packet, related to managing the investments for wire transfer. So those changes that you saw address those needed changes. That's what I'm requesting.
It's a conversation.
So would I read through the changes that were in the bylaws. Are these changes that we would make at this level or make a recommendation back to the board?
To the board.
So the bylaws have to be approved by the board by vote. There's a number of days in advance that those changes have to go to the individual members' policy. Again, you could approve it, and that could go on consent, or it could be, you guys could ask for it to be on the general business. Either way you want to
handle it. But either way, they end up seeing it. So it would be just this committee making the move. And again, he's right with the bylaws.
And any decisions by the executive committee go to the board for ratification.
Mm-hmm. And who is it that does our, who's responsible for, who's our accountant?
Thomas Hal Ferguson.
And have they reviewed the?
I sent it to Allison Harrell last week and asked her to provide any input or concerns. I have not heard back from her yet.
Okay, I think that any action that we take needs to be conditioned on, obviously, the approval of our accountants.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we could make the decision to move this item for the full board, and by which time the thought would be that we would have some feedback from Thomas Alford.
Or you can make it subject to, you know, either way. So if she comes back and says, yeah, no problem. But if there's a problem, then it could go to the board for approval, or most likely be amending something to, you know, reflect whatever her concerns were.
And was Melissa involved in the edits to the bylaws?
No, but I could certainly run those by her as well.
I think having counsel make sure that our language is correct is appropriate.
Yeah, it's just typically you don't see those kinds of things in bylaws. It's not been my experience. We're not changing language, we're just removing all the stuff related to checks in bylaws.
I would personally feel comfortable if we got those two inputs and then just move this item to the full board, because from my vantage point, but certainly welcome.
Certainly.
Okay.
For consent or for the full board's consideration?
Well, for the full board's consideration, because I don't think we're at the point of making it a consent item.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So that's the action taken there. And then ratification of equipment purchase and payment using night grant funds.
So as y'all may recall, we received a $35,000 grant from the Knight Foundation And that grant was to purchase lab equipment for our lab here in the Collins building. We, due to the turnover in staff, it kind of got in limbo for a while, and also COVID hit, and we weren't having anybody going into the lab, so there's no point in trying to buy any equipment at that point in time. So we waited until we got a couple more tenants to determine what kind of needs we had. So when Bill started, he picked up that process, but unfortunately we hit the deadline again. So we went ahead. There was some ambiguity in policy. Part of it was related to this ACH payment policy, which we were required to do for timing purposes to pay for this equipment in advance. But also because our purchasing policy says that I'm authorized to purchase anything that's in compliance with a grant. So there was just a little ambiguity. So what I'm asking is that the executive committee ratify the decision to go out and purchase the equipment that we made and pay for it via ACH, which we were required to do in order to hit the deadline, that June 30th deadline. It's been purchased. I included the invoice for the equipment. Bill spoke with the lab members, as well as Eric Graven, who is knowledgeable about such equipment, to get recommendations on where to buy this equipment. All of that. So I don't know if you had any more questions, but again, I'm just asking you to ratify the decision that I made to go out and make those purchases and pay for it via ACH.
Sure.
So does that require a motion?
It will.
Are you calling for a motion, or are we?
If there's any discussion, otherwise I will accept a motion for it because it is a past action. So.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, so it's been properly motioned and second. Approval of the ratification of equipment purchase. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. And then item number 10, Ron.
Okay, now for the fun part.
I know. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what,
where's that money tree? Yes.
Back on number 8,
sure.
Did we need to have a formal action, or is it just...
When you table it?
When we table that, is there any action that we need to, okay.
I don't believe so. I just
want someone to send it, you can just move it to the next agenda.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's basically just staff direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think you've all been involved in this conversation to some extent, but so we, on the, I believe it was July the 7th, we received an estimate on the cost of construction for the North Florida Innovation Labs. At that time, it was thought that the cost was going to be $4 million higher than what we had budgeted at $17 million. It has since come back at about $6.3 million or $6.25 million higher. So we met with the oversight committee and discussed some options for filling that gap. Or hole, depending on which way you want to look at it, it's a big hole. So the first option that was considered and is the what we think is the best option is to submit a grant application to the Florida Job Growth Grant Fund for that amount of money. We have a very specific budget. It's got lots of contingencies in it as well. So there's a little gap, but it's $6.228 million. The application has been completed. It's ready to submit today, but I'm looking for approval from the committee because the grant application itself asks a specific question about whether or not I have approval to submit that. So I want to make sure that the committee authorizes me to do that, as well as to execute any award agreement should we receive the funding. Again, that's a specific question for grant. We did, we engaged a grant writer who helped us with that. Bill and I worked on it. We also got feedback from Ann Longman. She was very helpful in sort of just giving us that separate view of it. As I mentioned, it's ready to go today. And if you want to come back, we can talk about that request for approval. But and then we also met with someone that Kevin had introduced us to, the University Financing Foundation out of Atlanta, Georgia. They are a nonprofit firm that offers financing to, I think, predominantly universities, is it not? And they have come up with a proposal for an interesting way for us to either use equity or debt to finance the gap. And I'm still waiting on a formal MOU. They were going to prepare an MOU or more formal terms for an offer. Mm-hmm. But as soon as we get those back, I think that's when I'll be able to bring that to the board for their consideration. I don't have anything new for you to look at today. But that's the second option. And the third option was traditional debt. I have been in contact with Hancock Whitney Bank, our bank, to see what they might be willing to offer. They are interested. The other advantage of the University Financing Foundation is that they do offer below market rates. I failed to mention some of the other things, and Kevin can come back and fill in some of this because he's very familiar and he was on the committee that heard this. But they also bring some value add in terms of their knowledge and experience with these kinds of projects. The building they're in right now, they help finance, and it also houses the Georgia Tech incubator I believe it's in Midtown, Atlanta. So again, they have a lot that they can bring to the table. There's lots of terms and conditions that we've got to get through to figure out concerns about, you know, how much they're going to insert themselves into operations. There's a lot of stuff to do with, you know, where they position themselves in the ownership chain. I sent you all the presentation. If you had a chance to listen to that, I apologize. We had some video technical difficulties, but I also sent you their PowerPoint that sort of illustrated how they were going to be a subtenant of LCRDA and then lease it back to the our nonprofit. Lots of details to get through yet, but we think that's not getting free money, but you know, something else, that is probably our next best option. And what it does is buy us time. Because as you know, with the EDA grant, we have a time certain to get all that done, or we can potentially lose the funding. And so we need to fill that gap quickly. We need to demonstrate to the EDA that we fill the gap so that they stay confident in the project and we keep moving forward. So a different kind of financing option is necessary if we want to keep this thing moving forward, assuming we don't get the EDA grant or get the state grant. Even with the state grant, we may still need to go ahead and do something like this to buy us time. The good news is I want to call them TUF, T-U-F-F, that's their abbreviation, but you know, they're going to provide terms that will allow us to repay that debt with no penalty. So again, from a timing standpoint, that would help give us time to go out and find other funding to repay it. There's still a lot of questions. So until I see the exact terms, it's going to be hard to kind of go through all of that. But so there'll be a lot more to talk about, I think, at the board meeting. I would imagine that will be our primary focus. And then, as I mentioned with Hancock Whitney, their big concern is, again, because it's traditional debt, they want to know how we're going to pay it back. So in order to move forward with them, they want to see kind of what that repayment plan would look like. They recognize it would involve going out and getting additional grant funds, things of that nature. But and I think to some extent they would be flexible. They would also insert themselves into the process, much like TUF would, in terms of trying to ensure that whatever's built, you know, since that's their security interest, that whatever's built is something that has value commensurate with, you know, what they're worth. So they will get involved, you know, just like any other lender would. And then finally, there's still going to be a process, assuming we don't get the state grant. How do we continue to go out and look for additional funds, either through charitable contributions to the 501c3, or other grants to repay whatever financing option that we might have to go with. So those are kind of the four pieces. They're not all mutually exclusive, but that's kind of what we've come up with to, you know, as options. And at this point, the only thing that I'm asking for approval on is the approval to submit the grant, the state grant, and to execute any award agreement should we receive it. Everything else is really going to be deferred to the board. as we get more information, more details into it.
Absolutely. And I spoke to Ron and said it individually, but want to share it in front of the group and public. But thank you for your diligence with seeking out options to support this fast, furious, and making sure that we have the details. So thank you. Thank you, Kevin, and the rest of the committee, too, that one for introducing TUF. I think you mentioned, Ron, to me that TUF also provided a level of oversight that would also be a value added benefit as well.
Yeah. And I don't know, Kevin, you want to add any more from the.
Their wheelhouse is research parks. It appears that they've done a fantastic job at Georgia Tech. I'm going to try and schedule a trip up there probably within the next month. I want to go see it just for my own.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about doing the same thing.
Okay. Well, let's try and coordinate efforts. I'm interested in how they could not only solve the immediate, but how they would be a catalyst for some bigger opportunities that I think we all hope and desire for LCRDA, for Innovation Park, for our broader community. The number of pieces of the puzzle that are in front of us is significant. I think everybody's starting to see how they might fit together. We bring somebody who has the ability in that development arena to pull these pieces together, that could be the beginning of the next phase.
Right.
So I'm encouraged. I hope it works. If it doesn't, you know, I appreciate, Ron, all the effort that you've invested in finding multiple options. So let's keep vetting each of them.
Absolutely. So we have one action item before us, and it's related to the grant. Is there a motion?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
So for the grant application going out today, when do you think they will make the decision, roughly the timeline?
Well, there's a lot more that's going to be involved than just submitting. And we are making contacts to try to help usher that through the process. So there is no deadline.
Okay.
It is something that is submitted to the Department of Economic Opportunity. It's also vetted, I believe, by Enterprise Florida. And then a recommendation is made to the governor. The governor has sole discretion on making that award. So we're going to work the channels to try to make sure that it gets seen and can get consideration quickly.
So what's your plan, Ron? Is it these two, the funding and the grant, is going to be a parallel approach you're taking?
Yeah, I don't think we can afford to wait to see what happens. I think we go ahead and pursue TUF while we get some feedback on the grant. Because it will take us a little while to get that process with TUF.
And are you in communication with them post their Zoom meeting?
With TUF?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember I just followed up and I asked to see if we couldn't get the MOU or proposal within the next day or two, because I want to also get that to Melissa.
Good.
To look at, but prior to the board meeting. So yes, I'm pressing for that. We may not have it in time for the agenda packet, but we'll definitely have something about it for you.
No, the reason I asked the question is that they had emailed me after the fact, and I believe my response was to make sure that they're in communication with you on the logistics.
Yeah, I didn't receive any other communication from them.
Okay.
And Sanjoy, I'll tell you, related to DEO, we got an award months ago, and we're still at the point of scope of work with DCFET last week. Yeah. And then.
So you got the award?
Like 2 or 3 months ago.
And then you had to do a scope of work?
Yeah, and it's been meetings, and there's going to be some required training after that. And yeah, so you can't go. They've said,
yeah.
Kim, you can't go until that scope of work is signed off on. So that's supposed to be going in for us today. But yeah, there is a bit of a process.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I appreciate that they're running. Yeah, we're running all initiatives at the same time.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, the fact that we've had to jump through all these hoops with the EDA.
Yeah.
We have, I think, a lot more in place. And yours was on the training side, is that correct?
Training.
Workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And ours is on the infrastructure side. There's two tracks that you can get this particular grant. So I think the requirements might be a little different. But
we have a building piece of it,
okay.
Which is why that threw in, because a program I could do the training anytime.
Yeah.
What we couldn't do was with the land and civil work, environmental tests.
Okay.
That's what's the hold up. So.
See, and I think we have all of that done because of what we had to do with the EDA. So I think that, and I'm, my hope is that the state will feel much more comfortable.
Because we've already gotten money and we're leveraging. Yeah.
And they know the EDA is tough on these awards, and you have to follow the federal statute. So I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well, people are lack of time. So the coordination is good on that, and we're not doing, just a one trick pony. We got three or four out there. So to that end, is there a motion to move forward with the grant application? Ron, is there
no, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll ask this question.
Okay. Does it pertain to what we're about to?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there a second? Okay. So it's been properly motioned second, allowing staff the ability to move forward with submission of the grant application and any subsequent grant award notices.
Agreements. Yeah.
Agreements. Mm-hmm. All in favor? And all of the fun?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Yeah. The only follow-up I wanted to make was on the traditional debt piece.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't planning to move forward with the traditional debt piece at this point. I was going to wait, since it's just another debt option.
Right.
Clearly, the tough option is better. I don't know if you agreed with that position, that I hold off on the traditional debt, because if we go there, I think if we go the route of traditional debt, we may have to look at putting out something to bid. In the case of TUF, I think the board has the authority to do a sole source because of the unique nature of what they provide. But when you get into traditional debt, there's nothing really that unique about.
Ron, would you be in a position to put just a small matrix look, here are four options, kind of what we know in categories, so that we can see it by the time we get to the board?
Level. Sure.
And then, yeah, because I think, on the surface, and as you described to me, even in our one-on-one, it makes sense, and why we do TUF, and of course, why we do grant. But yeah, just so that everybody can have the visual.
Okay. Ron, excuse me for interrupting. I think another factor is the fact that it is a below market rate, which may provide justification for sole source.
Yeah, and the sole source is in our purchasing policy, so the board has the authority to do that. But we just need to be clear that it's there, and it's not just something we can just do out of hand.
Absolutely.
Yes, you're right. That would be part of it. But the question is, are there others who do this that also offer below market?
Got it.
And I don't know if, and maybe that's something I need to do, is to go look and see. But then there's the other consideration of time.
Well, time and specialization. I mean, how many are going to find them?
We did ask the question about whether or not this would be subject to the
statute
there, because there are P3 guidelines to the Board of Governors that apply to universities, but then there's P3 statute that applies broadly to the state of Florida for other institutions, and I think we're going to fall inside of the P3 statutes, and that has to be part of the calculus.
I've
put Melissa on alert.
Okay.
That we need to talk about these things.
Yeah.
So she just got back from vacation, so we're still trying to catch up.
She'll be well rested then to take on these topics.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So Dave, want to welcome you, sir. How are you? You're muted, Dave, my friend.
My apologies for joining late. Just had some issues I had to deal with this morning. Apologize.
We knew you were coming. Not a problem. So we left the light on for you. Not a problem. Okay. We are at item number 11 and Chair's report. And I tell you, as much as we enjoy the work that we do, it's also an exciting time to see it as an agenda item. So we have next year's slate of officers. And Ron, if you will share with us the names that we've gotten so far.
Yeah, so Kevin, obviously, for board chair, Tom Allen for vice chair, and just in the nick of time, Dave Ramsey has volunteered to serve again as an officer as treasurer. And Kim, you don't get to escape altogether because you'll be the vice chair.
I'll be the rose. I'll be the rose amongst the fellas. But absolutely, no, this is exciting. So we do have the slate of officers for us. And we, I'm just trying to think about this. I know certainly the full board will get a vote on this, but to move the slate forward, I'm thinking that it's going to require that too. And certainly there are there any other recommendations that might come from this body? Otherwise, we're going to present it as it is. Okay. And then staff reports.
Yeah, I don't have a lot more to report. We've been kind of tied up with a couple of times lately.
Just a handful.
Just to let you know, the budget process is starting. So we're working through some of that. We've got some interesting other grant opportunities that are coming our way. That's specifically for the Norfolk Innovation Labs programming piece. And Bill can talk about that, but we're going to be looking at that budget and how we're going to spend those funds. Some of it's designated to certain programs, some can be more general use, but hopefully we'll be able to offset some salary and things in our existing budget. We definitely need that. Mm-hmm. And then the only other thing I want to report on was that we have an offer out to a director of market engagement. We're finishing that process, the background checks and all the other testing. And we expect to have her start on Monday, assuming everything happens this week the way it's supposed to. So excited about that. She's a very qualified person. But once we clear that last hurdle, I will send out her resume and all the information about her to all y'all so you'll know more about her. But Bill and I are both pretty excited about that. That's all I have.
Yeah, I know. It looks like a really, really solid resume that will add to the storytelling piece that we've been wanting to connect. So very good. And Bill, I'll hand it over. Well, actually, are there any questions for Ron? Okay, Bill.
Okay, I'll keep my comments brief. As Ron mentioned, we've been focusing on a large upcoming project and have been working on some grants. In addition to the DEO grant, as Ron mentioned, we completed the Knight grant. By the way, the equipment arrives or is shipped next week. So we're all pretty excited about that. The useful life of the equipment should allow us to move it over to the new facility as well. So excited about that. Additionally, we applied for an SBA STTR grant, $150,000. And we had some excellent talent in the video that we put together for that, which we'll show at the board meeting if there's no objection to that. Kim did, did a great job. It was a 90-second video, and so we're, as the politicians say, we're cautiously optimistic about that submission. It is SBIR, STTR week. So we are, time permitting, participating in some of those trainings and workshops, continuing to work with entrepreneurs. Looks like we'll be putting Claudio's Persica group into the lab and into an office. He got some funding. So we're looking forward to that. CRM project will come in for a landing once our marketing person is in and up to speed. So that represents an incremental strong step in the marketing world. And I'll be participating in a Synapse ecosystem focused event next week, continuing to do community outreach, choose Tallahassee, Arrow, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm happy to answer any questions from the executive committee.
Okay, are there any questions? That's for recognize coming.
So with the prospect of the new building, and now especially as we're starting to think about it in terms of a $23 million investment as opposed to a $17 million investment, Have we started to craft out some preliminary pro formas to see what the rent structure needs to be? I think we talked about this a month or so ago, and I know that that's a future exercise, but have we started looking at that at all?
The answer is yes. I'm looking at it from the outside in as one of the filters, meaning what are people paying elsewhere for comparable facilities? And I expect there to be a delta there between what it costs to operate and run programs and what the rents or memberships will support. And that delta will need to get filled by either public financing through grants or through private donors. And we have, we're approaching it seriously, but we have had some flippant conversations about, okay, what is the price point for naming rights given the needs? So we're taking it seriously and we're looking at best practices for how other facilities are maintained in that fashion.
We're also, now that we're into the building design, we can also start to get a better grasp of what operating costs might look like.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was just, pie in the sky, but now we're starting to see some real information. And I think the architects and engineers will be able to help us with some of that. The other piece, obviously, is we have to provide a budget of sorts to FAMU to see what kind of FTE contributions they can make. So we're still gathering some of that information. For example, we went and visited some folks at the College of Engineering who gave us some insight into the kinds of people we might want to help us with, as lab techs, for example, to help maintain some of the lab equipment, to support the members in the use of the equipment. We looked at their fabrication shop to see what kind of equipment that they had there and what kind of person needs to run that and what kind of model we might want to use in terms of doing prototype development. For example, having a person who does that versus having general access to very dangerous equipment that might amputate limbs or things like that. So
there's that.
Yes. Yeah. So we're looking, we're still gathering a lot of information to make a more specific budget. I know when we did the EDA grant, we took a very back of the envelope approach based on what we knew at the time, but I think we have more information now that we can start getting into needs more. We have a little bit of time, but not much to
not also engage, and I look at this like from the resource development donor side of it, of folks that would be willing to come around our table in an ad hoc kind of manner, where they have successfully kind of, I call it dissecting a building and said, okay, you can get this, you could see this as an opportunity, you could do this room as an opportunity, all the things that we could put dollars
to monetize them.
I look at some of the work in UM, and absolutely everybody knows Heather Mitchell over there with us. If this woman can find money under rock, she can. I mean, folks were like for classrooms, $25,000 for this, and this one gets matched, and it's $50,000 for a single classroom. And it's great because she was able to connect in a way with them. But certainly there are others, and perhaps like convening a group that could go through that exercise with us.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point. And one of the things that kind of got our attention with TUF is they recognize, well, first they assumed that we were looking at relying only on membership fees, too,
right.
But we've known that wasn't
going to
be the case. but they did recognize that you have to go out and monetize all these other opportunities. And they listed those in their presentation, if you saw one of their little diagrams. Off to the right there. And they have expertise in doing some of that. So, I think that's
now I think about the local people because they'll have the local relationships so that we can kind of quickly get in there and figure out who knows who to make it happen.
Yeah, and I think TUF will have the kind of the bigger picture and probably, and one of the things we like about TUF is they're very much community focused. They know they've got to get into the community to make all these pieces and parts work. It's not just about, oh, well, we've done it this way, this place, and it always works the same way. I think they know there's a difference in each place where they go.
Absolutely. Davis, I see your wheels turning over there. You got a comment, sir?
No, ma'am. Thank you for asking. I appreciate you. My mute button was on.
Okay. I think great report, Bill. Yeah, just continued on momentum there. Yeah.
Thank you. I think you're right on point with respect to sponsorable assets. We went through a similar exercise at Domi in which we took a look at not only physical assets, but digital assets, because we can scale some of those digital assets or bundle those things. A small note related to operating budgets. We have developed a policy to begin considering internships, and there's certainly a number of good internship possibilities. And we met last week with the professor in charge of the Tech Fellows program, and it looks like we'll have one or more Tech Fellows this coming summer. And those are CARES first-time college students at FSU that are interested in entrepreneurship and technology. And those are funded positions over the summer. So it provides a good educational experience and some arms and legs that help offset some of the operational costs.
And we're looking at them specifically to start working on policies and procedures for the incubator.
Yeah, that's lab like, manuals. I mean, there are lots of things that they can dive into that would be valuable support at that, particularly that time.
Very good, very good. Any new business? None? Okay, well then, motion to adjourn.
So moved.